in the Scripture. This is Paul's last epistle. These are the last words of Paul, and he is facing martyrdom. He's facing the guillotine, but he's still under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to encourage the people of God. And this morning we're going to read these verses that are familiar, but I'm going to just key in just on one little phrase. I've never preached on this particularly, but this morning we'll look at one little phrase out of this and note some things about it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we begin reading in verse number 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Damalta. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent unto Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Then he says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left in Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. And the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Paul, as he writes these last words in this last book that the Holy Spirit would inspire him to write, he gives encouragement to Timothy. And by doing this, and the way he did this was telling Timothy how that he had fought his fight, how he had kept his faith, how he had diligently done the work that the Lord had given him. And even though the Gentiles were against him, one of the statements that we read this morning, he said that all the Gentiles might hear. His desire was, first of all, that his brethren, his countrymen, might be saved and hear the gospel that's found in the book of Romans. But he was an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, he was the preacher that God chose. He's the apostle that God anointed to be the deliverer of the message of the gospel to those in the far distant lands of the Gentiles that had never heard. They were people that were involved in all kind of wrong kind of religions. They were people that were involved in idolatry. Most of them were involved in some kind of a radiance to physical pleasure. And Paul is sent to those people to tell them the gospel. Now he comes down to the end of his life. He said, I've kept the faith. I've done what the Lord has told me to do. He had faithfully finished the work that God had called him to do, and God had served him in spite of the faults of others and the failures of others. And certainly his life was a life hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." And his whole heart, his whole desire was to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sold out to God, to be led by the Holy Spirit and be used of the Lord in a way maybe that no one else had ever done before. But then he said, if I die, that's a gain to me. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, he had lived for Christ, he'd lived his life, and now he's come to the last portion of his life, and he's about to have the gain that he talked about. In just a little while, he's going to suffer what we call martyrdom. He was going to be killed, destroyed because of his faith and of the gospel. Paul tells us in chapter 4, verse 7, that he had earnestly, he had contended for the faith. He had done those things. He had fought the good fight. He had contended, as Jude tells us in verse number 3, that he says, "I write unto you the common salvation. That it is needful for me to write and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." So Jude, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, said we ought to be contending for the faith. We ought to be standing for the faith. And I believe Paul did that. And we have the same commendation. Really, we have the same commandment that they had, that we are to be contending for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that was once delivered. There's not four or five gospels, different stories. There's not four or five ways of salvation. There is one faith, and that's believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it saving faith. And I believe we have to contend for that, because if we do not, then the devil, he'll snatch the truth of the gospel away. He's done a lot of that already. There's a lot of places they preach a message, but they have lost the power of the gospel. They preach a message that's a social message. They preach a message that's a feel-good message. They even intermingle with every once in a while some scripture that makes you feel good. But that's not the whole counsel of God. And so we are told that we are to contend for the faith that was delivered to us. And Paul now is getting ready to enter into his eternal reward. He had been faithful, and he knew that the Lord would not forget him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." I read that last night. I looked at that. And Paul, he tells us here that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and our labor. Well, does that mean to you and I, if we forget the work and the labor of love that people do, is that a sign of the unrighteousness of our heart? Paul says God's not unrighteous, so he will not forget. But sometimes we forget, and that brings about a realization that we're not as maybe as spiritual as we ought to be, not where we should be. And so he tells us, Paul says here, God will not forget those things that we have done, which we have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Paul's companions. Now, this morning I want us to deal with some of these, this thing of companionship in the work of the Lord. And there's one little phrase here that just sort of jumps out. But in verse number 10, verse number 11, Paul gives us a list of a lot of his friends and companions here at the end. You look in the scriptures, you can find Paul had a lot of companions all through his ministry. You have the man by the name of Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas went out preaching the gospel. Later on, it was Paul and Silas that really shook the world for the cause of Christ. They went out preaching the gospel on those missionary journeys, and many people came to know the Lord. We find that Paul had a friend by the name of Timotheus, or Timothy, that he writes these words to under inspiration. Then there are some words that we have trouble pronouncing. Brother Larry had trouble pronouncing. He looked at me and said, "How you pronounce it?" I have no idea. And some of those words names are not common to us, but these were people that he knew and people that were with him in the ministry. You have men like Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius, Tychicus, Demas and Luke, and all those different ones. I wrote down some more this morning as we was reading in Colossians. You have Onesimus, you have Marcus, you have Epaphras, and many, many more. It'd be a good study. I've never done that. It'd be a good study to go through the writings of Paul and list all the people that were in his companionship that were ministers and helpers in the gospel. For the gospel is not one man doing all the work. It is many people doing the work that God gives them to do. And these people are probably where they are because of Paul and because of his faithfulness to the Lord. But even as we read this morning, he said, I've sent one to Ephesus, and he said, there's one that's forsaken me. And he gives these names at the end of the chapter that we read, Priscilla and Aquila, that you read about in the book of Acts. You have Onesiphorus and all these different hard names to read. But these are people that are actively working in the ministry under the leadership of the Apostle Paul. He tells us here at the end of his life, there's some men that are mentioned. Demas. Demas forsook him. And Paul says he loves the world. He loves the things of the world. He loves this present world. Now, Demas, in another place, I think it's, I forget now which book it is, maybe Philippians, Demas is mentioned as a co-laborer with Paul. But he had gotten to a point, maybe the pressures had gotten to him, maybe the struggles had gotten to him. And while Paul is waiting here for his final day of life, Demas forsakes him. He'd rather go back to the world. He'd rather go back to the things of the world. And it affected Paul in his ministry because it's just simply one little statement about him. He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And the reason he needed some companionship now, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. He goes back to a city that he'd been in, maybe his own city, probably was. And so Demas had forsaken him here in the end of the way. We find here that Mark is mentioned. He says, bring Mark, he's profitable to me. Now, if you remember, John Mark was that one that went with them on that first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. And John Mark turned back, and so he wanted to go on the second journey with him, and Paul said he's not going. He proved himself the first time, and he's not going with us this time, and it caused a great division and strife between Paul and Barnabas. And so they divide company, and Barnabas takes Mark, and Paul takes Silas. And somebody said, what a tragic thing that is for these two good preachers. And Barnabas was a great man of God. You can read about him in different places and how God used him. It's a tragic thing that two good men part companies. But you see, God always has a way of making hard things and bad things turn out good. So all of a sudden, instead of two men going out preaching, you've got four men going out. And under the leadership of the Lord, we have the story of Paul and Silas. We know very little about what Mark and Barnabas did. The Lord doesn't give that to us, but we know he does not go off the scene because in the end of Paul's life, Paul says, bring Mark, for he is profitable unto me. So that should tell us that he was still in the work. He's still doing. He and Barnabas were actively working in the ministry of the Lord, and Paul says, I need him to return because he is profitable to me in the last days of Paul's life. In his youth, he had forsaken Paul and Barnabas. But now Paul says, I need him and he can return to me profitable. But then in verse number 11, this is the phrase that I want us to look at this a little bit this morning. Only Luke is with me. Of all the men that Paul had been with and associated with, some of the names that I've given to you, and we'll probably look at some more of them, he comes to the statement that I think is very is a thought-provoking statement. Now, you have to remember, Paul's in prison. 2 Timothy is a prison epistle. He's in prison. He's writing under the inspiration And he tells us about all these men that have been. He said, I've sent one of them here. I've sent one of them over here, and this one's here. And John Mark, or Demas, he's forsaken me. But I need some other things. But he said, the only one that's left with me is this man called Luke. We know him as Luke the physician. We know him as the human author of the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And so he was with Paul in these last days. Now turn, if you would, with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we might see some reasons here why there's difficulty in ministry, or why ministry sometimes is bittersweet, and why sometimes under the our mental thinking we give up on the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 1. It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't receive God's grace in vain or in emptiness. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Paul's life was that the ministry would be fruitful and be productive. He says, in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities and distresses. And now he begins to list some of those things. In stripes and imprisonments, in turmoils and labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness and knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, or that's just true love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as pure, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet the possessing all things. There's the comparisons of the ministry and what takes place. For you see, the gospel and the story of the gospel and the work of the ministry is a very needful work. It's a mandatory job that we have as believers. God tells us to be involved in the ministry. Just as it is needful, is also full of heartache and it's full of troubles. It's full of trials. It's a hard job. It's a hard work. And Paul had gone through all those hardships. And in one place of the scripture, he tells us how many times he was in prison. He tells us how many times he was beaten. He tells us how many times the trials came to him. And so the work of the ministry sometimes is a very difficult and hard ministry, but it is a worthwhile, and it is a ministry that gives us many rewards in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the phrase here in this last passage that we just read, rejoicing as poor, making many rich. We make that's one of the worthwhile works. Many rich in the gospel, rich in the ministry. Rich because now they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a member of the family of God. They're in a royal kingdom. And so Paul says all these things today that have come to us, maybe that's why some leave, because of the hardships. But there's one special man here that's mentioned. Only Luke is with me. He was not moved by the trials. He was not moved by the persecutions and the imprisonments. He was not moved by the difficulty that the ministry that Paul had. And by the way, Luke was with Paul much of the ministry. And not a whole lot is said about him in the scripture, even though he's given permission to write and given guidance to write two of the great books in the New Testament. And so not a whole lot is said about him, but he was a faithful servant of the Apostle Paul. He was a faithful minister. He was a friend. When all others left Paul, only Luke is with me. It is believed that Luke probably, under the preaching of Paul, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in Antioch. Luke was not an eyewitness to the things that he wrote about. Yet we have a gospel that tells us so many things about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Luke is the longest gospel that we have. It has more in it than all the others as far as space. It doesn't give every detail, but it's the longest narrative that we have in the New Testament. Luke is a Gentile writing about a Jewish Savior. And so we find Luke is a peculiar, he's a different person. He was a product of the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And I dare say that he never got over the gratitude that he had. That here's a man that's a Jew that had time and took the time to tell me about the gospel, to tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ, because most Jews would not even speak to Luke. Most Jews would not have anything to do with him because he's a Gentile and he is he's not of the Jewish nation, and so that that prejudice run deep and run hard against the Gentile. But here's a man by the name of Paul, and he goes to the city of Antioch. He preaches the gospel, and here's a Gentile that gets saved. His name is Luke. And from that point on, Luke was with him during most of his ministry. Luke was with Paul when he was in Jerusalem. Luke was with Paul when he was in prison in Caesarea for 2 years. Luke was there with him. The scripture tells us that. Luke was with Paul when he was shipwrecked. He talks about the shipwreck, and he is there with him. Luke was with Paul when he's in prison in Rome, when Paul writes these words. And Luke was with Paul when he's martyred. So Luke was that faithful friend. Only Luke is with me. All my other friends have gone. Some of them I have told to go. Some of them I have appointed that they go and do the work there in the ministry. But some of them left just because they loved the world. Some of them left because they had no real concern for what the last days of Paul would be like. But Luke is a different person. He's a different man. And Luke is, of course, later honored, as I mentioned a while ago. He is later honored by the Holy Spirit and is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write down his gospel and the book of Acts. Two great books that we have. And they're both written to the same person. They're written to a man by the name of Theophilus. And we have no idea who Theophilus is. There's no history. There's no record of who he was. But he could be a representative name. Some think he was writing to someone in the government, and he sort of shrouded the name so for safety and security. That's just surmising because the Bible doesn't tell us who he is. But he writes his gospel, and he writes the book of Acts to this man by the name of Theophilus. And Paul writes that, or Luke writes that, and we have to remember now. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes I forget. We think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We think that they travel around with the Lord and they're writing down things and taking a journal. That's not the way it was. The Gospel of Luke was written probably in 60 A.D. That's 25 to 30 years after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes it a narrative just like he's there. And he never was there. Luke was not there. He himself says he is not an eyewitness to the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great book this morning because God knows it all and God inspired him. And Luke wrote it down just like God told him, just like he was there. But yet he was not. And so we find that he is honored to write the book of Luke, which was probably 25 to 30 years after the death of Christ. The book of Acts, which is probably 30, 35 years after the death of Christ. And he tells it just like it's a narrative of what happens. And Somebody says, well, how in the world can a man there in the book of Acts, how can he remember all those things? He didn't have to. God inspired him. I'm sure he remembered things. I'm sure maybe he did have some things written down. But the Holy Spirit of God, we believe in inspiration. We believe in verbal inspiration. We believe that God spoke to holy men and they wrote those things down as God gave it to them. And God can make it a narrative just like he's there, whether he was there or not. Luke was with the Apostle Paul. And it makes him really a different person, personality in the Scripture. I've got just two or three, four things about Luke. When the Scripture says here, only Luke is with me. He's telling Timothy that, his son in the gospel. He said, I'm here, I'm in prison, and I'm ready to go. Everything's finished, all the things are done. He said, but the only one with me now is Luke. That's why he says, you take Mark and bring him with thee. When you come, you bring Mark. He's profitable. Bring the parchments. Bring the books. Paul, even in his last days, he desired to be actively working in the ministry and the work of the Lord. He's actively working to serve God and to do those things that's pleasing to him. And he says, but right now, only Luke is with me. Luke was a friend, I believe, when Paul needed a friend. Have you ever needed a friend? Have you ever needed someone just to be there? I'm sure we've all had those occasions in our life, and we've had those things come to us that we're not sure what's going on. We just need somebody. We just need someone to help us, someone to be there. And I believe Luke was a person that was a friend when Paul needed one. Standing on the Scriptures sometimes bring reproach, and Luke needed to be there. Sometimes the reproach was given, and sometimes the separation that we live, and sometimes the sin brings reproach to people, and we just need somebody to be able to pour our hearts out to. I know we can talk to God. I know we can talk to Him without any fear or without any contradiction of words, but sometimes it's good just to have somebody say, I need to tell you something. Have you experienced that? Have you been the recipient? Sometimes somebody says, I need to bend your ear a minute. I need to talk to you a minute. Or maybe you've been the one that told somebody else that. Aren't you glad for friends? Aren't you glad for people that just like Luke, it says only Luke is with me. In those last moments, in those last days and months, Luke was there with him. All the others had been departed to different places, some preaching and some leaving. But Luke was there when he was needed because of the ministry and because of the companionship that he'd had all those times with the Apostle Paul. Luke was there to help Paul when he needed help. He was not only a friend, but I believe he was a helper in the gospel. I believe he was a helper in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was there standing for him. We all have our problems. We all have our mistakes. We all are human. But isn't it good sometimes to have somebody that comes along and undergirds and helps and takes care of the needs that we have? And Luke, I believe, was like that individual. Paul mentions him. He says, Demas is gone and another one has departed to the ministry. Luke's here. Luke's not gone anywhere. Luke is with me. He's there for me to talk to. He's there for me to be one that would be help. When Paul was in trouble, I believe Luke was an arm that could be leaned upon. I believe Luke was one that was there able to take the problems and the burdens. You know, the Bible says a friend loveth at all times. A true friend loves at all times. That doesn't mean good times. It doesn't mean when it's all fun and games. It doesn't mean when it's all easy. A true friend loves at all times. I believe Luke could be categorized as a true friend of the Apostle Paul. He could have run just like Mark did. He could have taken off, and Paul could have appointed him to another place to go preach. But Paul didn't do that because he knew Luke was faithful, and he knew he could depend upon Luke for his his companionship. He could depend upon Luke for his hard work. He could depend upon him that when he had trouble, he could lean upon him. He's there. We know that Jesus says he sticks closer than a brother. And I believe Luke was that one that maybe stuck closer than a physical friend to this man, this preacher, this missionary called Paul. Luke is called the evangelist. The reason for that, he went around many different places. He's called a physician. And he's called that evangelist that goes and preaches. He may have been like Paul. Paul sometimes subsidized his means and his needs by, he was a tent maker by trade. And the scripture says he would even make tents in order to gain the money to be able to do and the goods to be able to do what needed to be done. And Luke was a physician. Maybe he used that some in his way. But regardless of what it is, Luke was first and foremost a friend to this man called Paul. Because Paul had been faithful in preaching the gospel to him. I believe Luke was a comfort when Paul was in sorrow. When we read the words, "Demas, forsaken me," I believe you can imagine the turmoil in Paul's heart. Demas had been called a co-laborer. Demas's name is mentioned, I think, 3 times in the scripture. Once here, one I forget now the other places, but one of those places says that he is a worker in the ministry. He's a co-laborer with Paul. And here he is coming down. He's gone through all the struggles, and all of a sudden Demas is gone. And the reason Demas left was not for good reasons. It wasn't for something that was upright and wholesome. Paul said he left me because he loved the world. He loved this present world. No, he says he loved this present evil world. And Paul identifies Demas with leaving him and going away and getting back into the world and the worldly ways and the worldly things. And I'm sure there was a sorrow that came to his heart. Have you ever had a friend that deserted you? Have you ever had a person that you depended upon and they desert you? Then you know a little bit about what Paul is saying here. I believe Luke was that comfort. Luke may have said, "Paul, Demas may have left you, but I'm here with you." Demas may have gone and he's got out of the work of the ministry, but Luke says, "Remember the day you preached and I got saved. You remember the ministry we've had together. Remember all the good things we've done." And I believe Luke was that type of person that would encourage this old saint of God that's getting ready to die. And Luke is there, and Paul, under inspiration, he says, "Luke's with me." And only Luke is with me, and really and truly, that statement can be construed to say, he's all I need. Luke is here, and I don't need those others. Demas is gone, and the others have gone into the ministry. I've sent so-and-so to another town, and he's working in the church there. But Luke is here, and that's all I need. At this very moment, I'm glad he's here. But when you come, there's some other things that I need also. I want you to bring Mark. And he says he's profitable. He says also, when you come, bring my cloak. It's the beginning of winter. Cold weather was coming. He said, bring my coat, bring my cloak. And he says, but really and truly, be sure you bring the books, and especially the parchments. That's his works. That's his words. That's the things he's written. That's some things that he really needed in his ministry. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and temptations which befell me, lying in wait of the Jews." That's Paul speaking, Luke writing. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." He said, I don't want you not to know about the trouble. You need to know so you can pray. He says, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul said we even got to the point we wasn't sure we was going to live. Guess who was with him? Luke was there. And he said, we were pressed out of measure. 2 Corinthians 2:4 says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Paul was a man that loved people. And Luke was there with him. Luke was faithful to Paul when everyone else had left. Just a small little statement here, nothing to be expounded upon very much. He just says, Luke, only Luke is with me. Thank God this morning for companions, for people in the ministry, for people that love the same Lord you love and work for the same God you work. And we can understand and we can deal with problems and we can have all those issues that come up to us. We can thank God that there's always somebody that will stand with us. But when all the whole world falls by the wayside, when everybody's gone and we seem and we are alone, Paul says, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Nevertheless, I have one that's always with me, and he's the Lord. You and I this morning, doesn't matter where we find ourselves, doesn't matter what condition, health-wise, financially, or any other way that might come to us, it really doesn't matter because the Lord is always there for us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And we may have a Luke that will stand with us, and we may have a Demas that would forsake us. But we have a Lord that's always there. We have a Savior. And thank God one day He saved us, put us in His family. Now He's with us continually, and one day He'll take us home. And when He's been with us all these days of our lives, thank God we'll be with Him all the endless time of eternity. Because why? He stands with us. He is there for us, and He will help. May we be a Luke this morning. May we be like Him and have the desire, the stamina, to stand by righteousness. May we be that one that be willing to earnestly contend for the faith, to earnestly contend for the things of the Lord. And somebody might say, everybody's left me but, and your name might go there. What a blessing that is to be like Luke. Let's stand together this morning.